Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast. I'm your host, Becky Barber, and I'm a master life and relationship coach.
I'm your host, Kristen Dicker, and I'm a transformational health and wellness life coach.
If you're curious about what self-love is, you've come to the right place.
Each week, we'll dive deeper into the steps it takes to develop self-love. Here we go. Hey, Becky, how are you doing today?
Kristen, I am so good. I'm excited for our podcast. How are you?
Oh, good. I am too. I think it's going to be cool. I wanted to talk to you today and like share with our listeners about self-love. And I'm just curious, and maybe our listeners will have thoughts on this too. Do you ever find yourself feeling shame or unworthiness or having that inner critic sort of telling you that you're not good enough or that you don't measure up? Has that ever happened for you before, to you before?
Absolutely. That happens periodically, probably weekly. I think most people can say that that happens to them a lot, especially women. We're pretty hard on ourselves.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things that happens since from the time we're kids, usually, you know, society, family, the way we're brought up in this world sort of creates this constant like nagging in our heads that we need to do it better. Mm-hmm. And it sort of starts to shut out this feeling of loving ourselves. So I wanted to see if we could talk about self-love today and discuss what it means to us and what it doesn't mean and share that with our audience.
Yes, I think this first episode is important to just explain to everyone what self-love is and how to access it. This world is not really a good place to learn self-love. I don't think it's encouraged for people. So I think it's important to understand it and understand what it isn't.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, it's a tough cookie, this world, sometimes. We don't really have the modeling or the school classes that teach us what this is. And I think that it's really important that we feel that sense of self-love and authenticity so that we can do what we came here to do. You know, sometimes we have purposes in this life that we can't really fulfill if we don't know how to put ourselves first.
No, I love that point that you just made. I believe everyone has a purpose. And I do think that negative loop you're talking about, we hold ourselves back because of fear or shame or just that worry that we're not enough. Mm-hmm. I think that gets in the way. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really important. And we don't always know that we don't love ourselves. We don't know. Like we think, oh yeah, I love myself. I mean, I don't hate myself. I'm all right.
Sure.
But there's sometimes more like subconscious beliefs in there that we don't know that are really running the show and kind of driving the bus. And so it's helpful to like learn about what I'm really believing and sort of shift that around, change that mindset so that you're then able to really authentically step into, I'm in complete wholeness and alignment with myself. And I know where I'm headed, rather than part of me is headed this way and the other part is headed that way. And I think I'm headed this way. And I'm actually going backward. So yeah, there are things that stand in the way. And I would like to know like what you think about what are some of the things that self-love isn't.
So I have this conversation with my clients regularly. You know, someone's afraid that if they're too nice to themselves, then they're not going to achieve as much because they're letting themselves off the hook. Or they're afraid that it's selfish or it becomes self-indulgent. And so instead of stepping up to the responsibilities, they'll just be like, no, today everyone else can take care of me. That is not self-love at all. And I like to make the distinction because I know people are worried that if they're too kind to themselves, they're going to turn into a different person completely, which is just not a fact. Self-love, self-compassion really actually is the opposite of those things. You're more productive. You're less likely to blame other people. You do hold yourself accountable. You do the self-care because you want to help out yourself as you help other people. It's like that analogy of you put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then help others. It's that same concept.
Okay, so I have a question. So do you think your clients sometimes think that if they love themselves, they're going to be sort of conceited or arrogant?
Yes.
Do they think that's what self-love is? Yeah. Yes. I think that is a common misconception that they'll think that they'll get a big head about themselves and then they'll just be super like, I'm better than everyone. And it really just getting to a baseline level of self-love is actually a normal level. Mm-hmm. You know, we're, a lot of us live way underneath the normal level of loving ourselves. And what happens when you don't love yourself is you overcompensate and go into being arrogant or yes, conceited right, rather than, you know, just getting up to that level of, I think I'm okay. I've got some dark parts. I've got some light parts. You know, I make mistakes. I forgive myself. You know, a lot of those things that would just help you get to a basic level of self-compassion and self-love. So is there anything else that you can tell me about with this?
Yeah, I love that you just said that, because it's not, self-love is not arrogance. It's not putting yourself above others or below others. It's just recognizing our common humanity. So we are all in this together. We all struggle. We all have fears. We all love our kids. You know, we want the best for this world. Also, I know people are worried about self-love turning into like more of a pity party, but it goes with what I was just saying about that common humanity. It's just recognizing that everyone is struggling with something. You're not the only one. Don't go into that victim mode, but you can still love yourself the way you would love a friend who's struggling or feels inadequate.
Right, right. Now, and just in terms of like that whole victim thing, for me, I think that if you love yourself, sometimes you're going to have that pity party. Like, I think it's okay to cry those tears, those childlike tears.
Yeah.
From when you were hurt as a child. And if you sometimes have to like go, you know, I feel so sad that this person talked to me this way. If you give yourself that 10 minutes to cry.
Right.
That's loving and honoring your feelings. And you're not going to stay crying for the next 6 weeks. You're just, you know, it just, it's like an onion peeling back. You're going to hit a layer and feel sad or mad or whatever you feel. And then you're going to get through it. And then you're just going to be stronger in yourself. And so I feel that even being in that kind of, you know, pity party mode for a little bit, or, you know, I don't really want to call it that. It's not really that.
Yeah, that was my thing, is I was going to argue semantics with you, because I don't think that's pity. I think that's compassion, what you were describing.
It is.
I think pity is when you want other people to stop. And if they're struggling, well, it's not as hard as my problem, right? It's like that one-upping. So what you're describing to me is not pity. I perceive that as self-compassion, which I am all for self-compassion.
The pity, I say the pity party is almost in jest, because I think people think sometimes that they are having a pity party. Okay. And to me, it's not really a pity party. It's like, if that's the way you want to think of it, have it. But it's not really pity. It is compassion. That is exactly the definition to me of having compassion. Because if you, like you were saying, if you think of having compassion for a friend who's going through something and you give that to yourself, it's the exact same thing. Like, I understand that I'm in pain. I understand that I'm afraid, just like I would my friend. And so when everyone says, go have compassion for everyone else, I think, wait a minute, that's great. But you'll have natural compassion as soon as you have it for yourself.
Absolutely.
As soon as you stop shaming and judging and understanding yourself, or start understanding yourself and forgiving yourself for mistakes that you didn't even mean to make.
Right.
Then you automatically have it for other people. Absolutely. And it's so freeing, because then you don't really have to try to have compassion. You just do.
Yeah.
Because you already have it for yourself. So for me, that's a big part of what self-love is. Having that baseline of compassion and honoring my feelings and acknowledging myself as feeling these things and not letting anybody else tell me I'm wrong, that I am having a pity party, you know, and that I'm a victim. Just like knowing that it's okay for me to feel sad or upset about a situation. And then from there, I have compassion for myself. I'm at a just a comfortable level of kind of a zero point. And from there, I can stand up for myself. I can choose myself. That means I don't abandon myself. If I'm feeling those feelings, I'm no longer abandoning myself. I'm not rejecting myself. And so the basic things that we're wounded with as children start to heal. And then after that, we're able to live unapologetically and free, because now we are free. Like, you can't really hurt me, because if you do, I'm going to cry about it, journal about it, acknowledge it, and then I'm going to be able to be okay. And I took care of this myself. So I don't know.
So I have a couple things that came to mind when you were saying that. First of all, I do acknowledge that there are true victims in this life. You and I both work with people who are victims of emotional abuse and other kinds of abuse. So I honor those victims. I have been in situations where I have been the victim, but I love how you said, like, you feel that sorrow for yourself and what you went through, but then you also move through it. So I do think it's important to grieve and just acknowledge any loss or any hurt, any pain. After that, right, then you can move out of that as a stronger person, should you choose. Some people choose to stay stuck in that, which is not self-love, as we've talked about. So Brené Brown actually talks about how we can only love others to the same degree that we love ourselves. And so I would further that and say the same, you know, as you were talking about with the shame and like forgiving yourself, as we offer that self-compassion, we will have more to offer to others. And we will be less judgmental of ourselves and others. We'll be less harsh and less critical. And it really just will improve every aspect of our lives.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that when you're not judging yourself, you automatically don't judge other people? Or like when you are around somebody who's really judgmental and you kind of think, oh, I wonder how much they judge themselves, if it's like pouring out of them so much right. that they're now judging everyone around them. Have right. you ever noticed that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
this statement isn't to be judgmental.
Person. Yeah, they're no longer a safe person. And so that's the question, right? Am I a safe person with myself? Am I a safe person with my family? Am I a safe person with others? You know, as the circle goes out. Yeah, these are great questions.
Yeah. And I love the safety part, because that feeling of being safe with yourself is, whew, I take a deep breath on that, you know?
Right.
Because it makes me want to cry. Like that feeling of, I've always wanted to feel safe with people in my life and haven't. And then knowing I can do these things for myself, you know how empowering that is? That is just, I mean, it's the ultimate freedom.
Yes.
It's the ultimate empowerment. It's the ultimate level of security in yourself. Like no more insecurity, because now I can be safe with myself and I can know I belong and that I'm loved. Even if no one else gives it to me, I give it to myself. And that might seem boring. I know it can be boring. Like, oh, I want somebody else to love me. I want my knight in shining armor to love me. It doesn't, you know, preclude that though.
Sure.
When you're in love with yourself, you're going to welcome that right person or those right people into your life who are going to mirror that to you, you know, even more so.
Yeah. And I would say conversely, when you don't like yourself and you don't believe you're worthy of that love or the safety and belonging that every human has, those three needs, right? Love, safety, and belonging. But if you don't believe you're worthy of that, you will surround yourself with people who will take advantage of that. And whether they're conscious of it or not, will be that emotional abuse element that we talked about, or just you won't believe that you're worth it. And so as you were talking about like working on yourself and loving yourself, accepting yourself as you are, just honoring right who you are. You're God's creation. You have greater purpose than what you even know at this moment. And so giving yourself that grace, I think, is essential.
Yeah. And also the appreciation. Do you ever think about that? Like just appreciating yourself. It's almost like reverse people pleasing, you know, like when we people please, we want someone to approve of us and appreciate us and value us and make us good enough and on, right? And if we reverse engineer that and like start appreciating and approving of ourselves in the way we want other people to, it really helps us, again, love ourselves, honor ourselves, and all the things that you just mentioned, so that we don't feel like we have to reach externally for that validation, is we're now validating ourselves. And so you're right, when we don't do those things, we do tend to attract and surround ourselves with those kind of people who will take advantage because of their wounding, because they're not healed.
Right.
You know, you attract what you are a lot of the times, you know, and so you're going to be around people who will not treat you with the respect, because you can't treat yourself with the respect at that point. And so, yeah, it can be hard kind of climbing out of that ditch, but, you know, once you get out of that and you look back, you think, I can't be around that anymore. I mean, I just don't even vibrate at that level because it hurts my body physically. It hurts. It does hurt your body physically, right? When you are in, you can get physically ill, but it does hurt your heart and it hurts your all of you when you're around people who judge you and start like taking advantage and cross your boundaries and abuse you. And It hurts. Yeah. I mean, it hurts to be abused, but when you don't know you're being abused, it doesn't feel as bad as when you step away and you look back and go, I love myself too much to be around that now. I can't. Mm-hmm. I physically cannot do it. Viscerally, I cannot do it, you know?
Yeah. And I think what's really helped me is being a mom and just looking at life through my kids' eyes. And like, I would never say anything to my kid that I say to myself in my head. Right. And so that thought has helped access more self-compassion as well. Cause it's like, they're just trying, they're doing their best. Wait, so am I.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love that self-awareness. Because I don't think it's easy. I think it's very key. Like, I think that really, really helps you to sort of step back and look at what's going on and realize, if I wouldn't treat my children that way, why would I treat myself that way? Now, I know a lot of people don't think like that. I mean, they might not. They might think, well, I have to be the best and I have to do this the right way and I have to be hard on myself. And like you were saying in the beginning, it makes people feel like they might like be lazier and they might not achieve their goals if they don't, you know, put the pressure on themselves.
Right.
But almost appreciating and allowing yourself to be where you're at in this moment, this beautiful moment that's been created here, gives you a lot more energy to like do the things you really want to do. So,
yeah. An example comes to mind, right? Like, we think we're so hard on ourselves. Why did I eat that donut? Why can't I just get up at 5:30 and go running? Like, we think if we're just pushing ourselves and being that critical inner voice, that it's just going to motivate us. But actually, it's the opposite. And as you were talking about earlier, if we take the time to understand ourselves, well, I was feeling really depressed when I grabbed that donut. Well, I'm really tired. I don't want to run at 5:30. I was up till midnight with a sick kid, right? Giving yourself that space to understand, and the way you would to a friend. If a friend called you up and was like, oh, I can't lose these last 30 pounds. You're not going to be like, well, it's because you're lazy.
Yeah.
But we say that to ourselves.
I know.
And we say things to ourselves. We say things to ourselves we would never even say to a stranger.
Right.
So I think go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. I'm interrupting you.
I was just going to say that awareness piece that you were talking about is essential. And we'll go into that in further episodes.
There are people that I've known in this world who will be that hard on me too. But again, I'm surrounding myself with the people who might, you know, actually say, oh yeah, you shouldn't be eating that. You're right. You big fat cow. I mean, like, I don't know, like they might actually reinforce those messages. So it's really, really important that we understand the beliefs, the thoughts, the habits we have, the messages that we give ourselves, and change those things, rewire our brain and have a new experience of how we really want to live, so that we can not believe the other people, not believe the inner critic, first of all, and not believe those other people that say those things. Those other people are saying those things because of their stuff.
Right.
They're not saying it about me. They're saying it about themselves. But of course, you feel like it's personal, like they're saying it about you because you're having the conversation and it feels that way. Yeah, I think that this is all great stuff. This is all really, I think it's just so important to have this sort of conversation about, you know, what it is and what it's not and what it can be and what it looks like and how it feels. It's just really important because I think a lot of people don't really know what self-love is. It's just such a buzzword, right?
These are
a phrase that everyone says, but it can be hard to understand. So yeah, I hope it's helpful that we're sort of talking about it.
Yeah. What I was just thinking, as you work with women who have been emotionally abused, and that's usually by someone who's perpetrated that. I work with women who have difficult moms. So all that you were talking about, where those messages come in before we can even talk, they're implanted, right? So I just want to reiterate what you said, like, we need to watch our thoughts, we need to watch our words, and then we need to watch our actions. But it all begins with the thoughts. So if we can slow that down and then change that, that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. And I'll take that a step further just to say that I think that the emotional wounding that we have from life from family, from society, teachers, whomever, the messages that we internalized as a child, it creates this sort of open gaping wound that doesn't heal until it does. And when it's gaping like that, it's like you can't really cover, put a Band-Aid on a gaping mm-hmm. wound. You have to suture it up and it has to heal. So you have to actually go in and do more to it than just stick a Band-Aid on. Right. And so if it's gaping, you're getting the thoughts all the time. And it's hard to slow that down until you've attacked what's the root of this injury. Mm-hmm. And where did it start, or what was the belief that was created, and change that so that then you can catch those thoughts. They do slow down then. Then you can say, well, is that, you can kind of question them. Is that really true about me? You know, am I really that lazy? Because I did this, and this 55 things today. And I think I'm lazy. How could I think I'm lazy? No one else would think I was lazy, but I think I'm lazy. You know, mm-hmm. I shouldn't think like, you know, and then you can start to shift that, those thoughts. So.
Yeah. I think it's important to recognize what you just said. Like, our brains are trained to look for the negative. We remember the negative. We see it so easily. Our brains want to keep us safe. So that's what we're looking out for, right? Is what we didn't do, what we're failing at. We very rarely take the time to recognize what we are doing and give ourselves that acknowledgement and like just pat ourselves on the back. Like, look at everything you did today. Way to go. Mm-hmm. We don't do that.
No, we don't.
But it would make a big difference. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Agree.
If you like what you've been learning about self-love, come join us in our free Facebook group, Try Self-Love. We'd also appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That way your friends and family and others who need us can find us.
We're so glad you're here. See you next week.